This is the Concealed Carry Podcast, episode number 85. And welcome to the Concealed Carry Podcast, part of the USA Firearm Training and now ConcealedCarry.com network. I am your host, Riley Bowman. And today is a special episode. Today is actually a collection of our favorite justified stories from the past 84 episodes that we've done here on the Concealed Carry Podcast. I am quite literally recording this sitting in a hotel room in Memphis, Tennessee, after having just completed the American Marksman National Championship competition. And just want to let you all know, I can't really tell you a whole lot about that, the results of that competition right now at this time, but we had a great time. It was cold as heck. We had cold temperatures, freezing rain, black ice, and cold temperatures. It was very cold to be having a shooting competition in, but we had a wonderful time. I enjoyed myself. And anyway, so, you know, just because of everything going on here at concealedcarry.com, we didn't have really a good opportunity anywhere to record our usual episode for the podcast. We apologize for that. But hope that you'll enjoy listening to this collection, like as I said, to our favorite collection of justified shooting stories from the past almost year now that we've been doing the podcast. Thank you so much for all those of you that have supported us through this endeavor with the Concealed Carry Podcast. We have lots of more great, fantastic content on the way. And we do hope that you'll go and check out our special membership. For those of you who are loyal listeners to the podcast and support us here at ConcealedCarry.com, go check out Guardian Nation, if you would, please. And you can find that very easily by just going to GuardianNation.com. So with that, please listen in and enjoy this collection of these justified stories, and I'll see you on the other side.
This is what we call our justified segment. We've got a story here where each podcast will feature a justified shooter kind of situation. And so this week, we got a story here featuring a man out of Detroit, Michigan. And basically, he witnessed a daughter stabbing her mother. Okay, so I think her name is Stephanie Kerr. And her daughter had some medical issues and mental health issues as well. And Mr. Sarter, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his first name, but he witnessed the daughter of Stephanie Kerr stabbing her mom and pulls his gun to stop the attack.
Yeah, you know, this is an interesting one. This is at the GM Tech building in Detroit. Daughter comes to visit mom. Mom's at work. The lobby calls mom down to the, down to see her daughter. You know, Stephanie comes down, meets her daughter in the lobby. Argument ensues. They decide to take it outside. Quite literally, they head outside in front of the building and, you know, poor daughter, not under medication, whatever, pulls a knife, starts stabbing. Now, Mr. Sarter, again, first name, don't even try it. Mr. Sarter, he is actually working as a valet, right there in front of the building as a parking valet.
Yeah. It says he's the valet supervisor.
Yes. The supervisor. And so he doesn't know it's mom, daughter, certainly, right? He just sees one lady stabbing the other. And if, in fact, he, as the news story goes, he was arriving at work. He was showing up and arrived and heard the commotion, looked and saw stabbing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it says the lady kept saying, this would be Ms. Kerr, I'm dying, someone help. And for him, it was just a natural reaction. He just jumped right in, drew his weapon and said, stop. And fortunately, the daughter did stop. And police was able to get there and take the attacker into custody. And meanwhile, mom was rushed to the hospital and had successful surgery and is expected to live and is in a stable condition.
Yeah, yeah. So far, so good there. This is actually probably going to be an interesting segue into our main topic about gun owners facing felonies for preventing crimes. Because, you know, whether his legal line of whether he crossed or not is kind of debatable here. But perhaps more relevant to our segment here, this poor guy, before the police could even clear the scene and leave, he was fired. Now, fired is relative. What he said is that an employee of GM, a GM employee from the building, came down, told him he shouldn't have had his gun with him, and escorted him off property and said he couldn't come back.
Yeah, that was being reported by some media. Just to give GM, you know, not to throw him completely under the bus, they did send out an email to their company employees saying that he was not fired, but that he was the employee, Mr. Sarter, was taken to the hospital for treatment, and that the suspect was in custody. We've actually communicated with Mr. Sarter, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah. You know, he's already given his statements to media. I don't know that he's going to tell us much more. But what's clear is that he didn't actually work for GM. He worked for a third-party vendor that GM had hired to manage the parking, which is common for valet parking. And so whether GM, you know, kicked him off the property or not, they really didn't have the authority to fire him per se.
True. But for Mr. Sarter, he says he's back at work. So that's good for him. We don't know if that means he's back at work at the GM Tech building or some other, you know, position, but we're glad that he's back at work. And we're also glad he did the right thing. I mean, certainly, that's hard to say what anybody would do in that sort of situation. I mean, you see somebody attacking someone else, that's always a difficult situation to insert yourself into. You don't always necessarily know exactly what's going on. Sometimes what you might perceive as being the attacker might actually be what might have been a victim, or at least how it started out. So what do you think about that, Jacob?
Yeah, yeah, that's always one of those challenging things, probably a can of worms we don't want to open up too much. But ultimately, yeah, he was able to defuse a situation, which is the objective. And in this case, the goal of the gun did its job.
Right, right. No shots fired.
Right.
Which, I mean, that's ideally we'd like to see. No one else had to have their health or their safety or their life put in jeopardy or taken away. So he is able to do the right thing and stop it from happening. So,
yep.
Awesome. Let's get to our Justified segment.
Justified.
Today, this is a real fun one, and it's a great story with a happy ending for everybody. And, well, maybe not so much for the intruder, but it has a happy ending. We have some other things we want to touch on this story. The topic is, or the title is, 92-year-old World War II vet uses a 45 pistol to stop axe attack. This coming from Breitbart.com. And so basically we've got a 92-year-old World War II veteran, Joe Millspa is his name. This is in the Los Angeles area in California. And he hears a noise at his window and realizes it's a young man, a 20-something-year-old, I think he says in the news story, that he's trying to use an axe to try to get through the door. And then he sees the window shatter, so he draws his gun.
Yeah, his trusty 1911,
yeah.
Which the news anchor was so happy to hold on camera and show everybody on the news story. So he's got his gun, right? He's holding it. He draws it and he fires a shot. Now, whether or not he meant to miss or only after the fact he said that he meant to miss, what is clear is that he missed. And that the shot goes into the wall and, 45 is not a quiet caliber of gun. I suspect if I was the intruder holding an axe trying to break through a window and I heard that, I would run whether I saw it or not. And that's essentially what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, he does thwart the home invasion from taking place. We're happy for that. But this gentleman, he talks in an interview on camera. You can watch this video online. But we'll include the links in the show notes. But he fires a warning shot into the wall beside where the intruder is trying to come in at. Thoughts on warning shots, guys?
Oh, I want to hear Alex's thoughts.
You know, warning shots are a horrible thing. I can't think of any reason to justify them. And the 4 points that come to mind is, number one, if you fire a warning shot, who's responsible for every round that you fire?
Yeah, the shooter. Well,
of course the shooter is. Secondly, you're depleting your meager ammunition supply. Let's face it, for most handguns, and especially in Colorado, you don't have a high capacity or a reasonable capacity magazine in many cases. So that's something that's important. Another one that you have is the fact that firing that round is tactically bad because it gives away your location in many cases. And the final one that's very scary to me, and we've heard this in defense when criminals have raised it, where they say, well, I wasn't actually going to fire at the police officer or the citizen, but when they shot at me, I was in fear of my life and I had to fire back to defend myself. And unfortunately, people will buy that. They'll go ahead and swallow that hook, line, and sinker. Say, well, if the officer hadn't fired a warning shot, if the citizen hadn't fired a warning shot, then the bad guy wouldn't have shot at him anyway. And that's hogwash, but warning shots, just avoid them.
Yeah, bad tactics, bad legal, burden of proof case as well.
Yeah, totally. You know, we're not meaning to criticize this old guy, but in fact, when we thank him for his service, we're happy he's still with us. But one thing he said in the video that was also concerning to me is he said he could have shot the guy right between the eyes, but he didn't. He didn't want to do that because, oh, I might have gotten in trouble.
Those were his words. I might have gotten in trouble.
Yeah. And that concerns me that there are people out there that would think that for defending their home, defending their life even, that they would maybe hesitate to use justified force because they were afraid they would be the one to get in trouble. That's concerning to me.
Well, this probably will be a good segue for next week. We'll talk about next week's podcast later in the show. But yeah, we need to have a clear idea of what one's intent or purpose is when defending human life. And yep. You know, in this case, you know, he did a couple of weird things by what you're describing. One is he suggested that he didn't want to get into trouble, that he was making a decision based on his potential legal consequences, which makes no sense at all. And the second thing is that even after making the decision, he was sharing the details of that decision with the media, which also sounds like a pretty poor plan.
And this is probably one of the best things can happen for us as firearms instructors, is for to hear this kind of thing so that we know how we can help our students be better prepared. We know that what we need to teach them, we need to get them in so that we can help them understand and prepare them for making that decision and maybe a little bit better decision at times.
Agreed. Today's justified story is an armed 14-year-old saves his 6-year-old siblings from home invaders. Jacob, did you check this story out?
Yeah, this is a really cool one. A 14-year-old, in my opinion, is probably old enough to be babysitting at home. So no parents there. I don't see that's some sort of, you know, home abuse or anything. So he's home by himself. Here's the noise. Apparently, the intruders were coming through a glass door. They'd pushed through the glass and were, you know, reaching around to unlock the door. He retrieves the 6-year-old siblings. I don't know if they're twins or whatever. It says siblings, so I don't know. But anyway, takes them into dad's room, into dad's closet where they kind of hide, and he retrieves a rifle, and he calls police, he calls 911, and then he just waits, and eventually the intruders catch up with him.
Yeah, it's an amazing story, I think. I mean, first of all, the gumption that this 14-year-old kid had to do what he did. I mean, he had a lot of presence of mind to go, oh, wow, someone's trying to get in my house. Gather my siblings. Let's get up. Let's hide. Let's grab dad's rifle. And he was ready, which is just phenomenal. Not a lot of 14-year-olds in today's society, you know, necessarily would do that or have that capability. And speaking of capability, it talks about how, you know, his father and he himself, they believe in the Second Amendment. And his dad has taken him shooting many times, which is cool. So his dad's been responsible about it. You know, we just came from a story talking about, you know, the importance of teaching kids about guns responsibly so that curiosity is taken away. Well, here's a perfect example of a household where that has occurred. And the result is that, you know, these two men, as they work their way through the house, taking various things, electronics, devices, and so forth, they make their way into the closet, and I could just imagine the shock on the thief's, you know, face as he walks in. Maybe he flips on the light and he's looking down the barrel of a gun.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, amazing.
It's awesome. I'm sure some people would probably not like to hear that. You know, oh, how did this 14-year-old, you know, get access to this rifle? Who cares? I mean, he obviously, his dad trusted him. He trusted him to leave him home with his siblings. He taught him properly, safety, all that. And he did the right thing. So, and there have been
the better question might be, hey, if you have a child that's babysitting their younger siblings and you're trusting your 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old to, you know, watch the house while you're out, while you're gone. There's no parents there. There's no adults. The better question might be, well, what's your plan?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you see an issue with that, what's your game plan if the same thing happens to your child?
Great point, you know, because I take my family's security very seriously. And obviously when I'm at home, I'm able to do that. I'm able to have my gun on me and, you know, no issue. But when I'm away, yeah, you're right. Now, my children aren't old enough yet to be left at home alone, but that's something I got to be thinking about as they do get older. Very good point. So our next story coming to us from WLKY.com, this is a news channel out of Louisville, Kentucky, is a story about a woman who shot a man after she was attacked in a parking garage. The details are is that she was going to her car. She gets into an elevator, and this man is following her. And she noticed him following her from before, and he gets on the elevator with her, and she asks which floor he's going to. And he says, oh, the sixth floor. Well, that happened to be the same floor she was going to. And she knew something was off about the guy. So as soon as the elevator doors open, she starts running. She gets to her car and says that this guy slammed her head against something. It was never known for sure, but he slams her head. He threatens her with a knife and starts attacking her. She draws her weapon. It fails to fire, but she continues to try to manipulate the weapon, and eventually it does fire, and she shoots this guy. Pretty intense.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, and we're talking about the everyday occurrence, and this is exactly the kind of thing we're talking about. And by the way, just a side note, anybody's listening to this should probably go to our website, set up a free user account, and download our free book called Survive Anything. So we have a whole chapter in there about elevators and stairwells. But this is one of those scary things where she really didn't do anything wrong. I mean, we really couldn't point and say, well, dumb woman, you know, she failed on X, Y, and Z. She did the best she could. And it just happened to be that she was a victim, you know, from an attacker. And the other thing that I immediately take from this is, geez, I hope my gun is clean and working. I hope I don't just stick it in my holster every day and, you know, assume that it's in tip-top shape.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I would like to know, too, is, and Jacob, we've talked a lot about this in the past, and in a lot of our classes, was the safety on? I would like to just ask, was that the safety? You know, yeah. There's so many things to be taught and to train yourself. And again, if you have a feeling that something is off in the elevator, you pull your gun in the elevator. Don't wait till your head's bashed in. You know, I feel for this poor woman, but I think this is the exact reason why we're doing this podcast, because we need to educate everyone and society in general on better and more proper ways of defending yourself.
Totally. A quote from the woman in the article, I was violently attacked in my car. I fought off my attacker and thankfully was able to defend myself. I suffered significant physical injuries, and I know that my attacker would have taken my life if given the chance. So we know this woman was a survivor. And Jacob, you know, you put in the plug for the Survive Anything product. That's great. You know, at the beginning, Article 2, she also says, I never want another woman to be the victim of a violent crime such as this. Where do you guys think she's at on the spectrum of gun rights? I'm going to go with that she's for them.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it's probably worth noting that the first thing she did right is get some training and get a gun and carry it around.
Yeah, she was actually reasonably well prepared for this very thing. On to our justified story for the week. Concealed weapon owner shoots hatchet-wielding attacker in Washington. This is actually in Seattle, 7-Eleven convenience store.
Yeah, it was a suburb, I think, on the southwest it would be of Seattle. But this is really cool, and especially in a place like, you know, a Seattle suburb where they're a little bit, you know, they're the kind of news organization that would normally probably say gun nut when referring to someone like a concealed weapon owner. But this time the media decided it would put them in better light to, talk about how he stopped the attacker.
Yeah. So what happened? This was early Sunday morning. This was on March 13th. And we have a convenience store clerk and another patron inside the store. And this guy comes in swinging a hatchet. He slices the store clerk. He also swings at the other store patron and cuts him, I think, mildly on his stomach. Well, this patron draws a firearm that he was carrying legally, had a concealed weapons permit for it as well. A 60-year-old customer draws his weapon and shoots back. Pretty, this is intense stuff. And I think he killed the attacker, did he not?
That's what I understood. I don't, maybe at the time the news story was published, it didn't clarify that, but since I think that's the case.
Yep, I have an update right here. It says, this guy was shot. He is dead. In fact, here's a quote from the King County Sheriff, Sergeant, actually. She said, her name's Cindy West, "This could have been disastrous. Had this guy not shot, who knows what would have happened? We might have a dead clerk right now, and instead we have a dead bad guy."
Hey, wait a minute, Riley. I'm confused. You know, I was just reading some news the other day, and even like the Daily Show, I heard recently that the good guys can't stop bad guys. That's what the media wants me to believe, is that good guys just, we don't actually ever stop bad guys, like ever. So I'm totally lost here.
Yeah. And kind of like that Wisconsin, you know, story we shared, I think last week, about how, you know, was it that one? I think it was that one where there was a quote or something about putting more. No, it was the Arizona one, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Arizona. They were talking about paying people money if they get their permit, right? And the one senator that was opposing that said, we can't have this. You know, this will encourage people to be packing guns around, and heaven forbid, we won't be able to tell the bad guy from the good guy.
And it was pretty obvious when the cops showed up to this scene and there was a dead guy on the ground and two other people with wounds, and they're like, hey, thanks for showing up. This was over a minute and a half ago.
Right. You talked about that last week, how you and I went through that active shooter training a couple weeks ago and talked about the average active shooter situation lasts, what was it, 90 seconds approximately?
Yeah, 90 seconds or less, yeah.
Yeah, so here you go. Perfect, you know, real world example. This is exactly why we are such strong proponents of the right to self-defense and concealed carry, because this is where it's at. This is where the rubber meets the road. This week, our Justified story, this is a fantastic story. I mean, we always feature fantastic stories, right, Jacob? But this one is coming out to us out of Jacksonville, Florida. This is as reported by a local news station there, WOKV. And so we've got in Jacksonville here an employee of B&L Landscape Company. So we've got a landscape company on the south side of Jacksonville. And apparently this employee was disgruntled about something or had a disagreement with somebody. And he brings a gun to work and starts shooting. And apparently shoots and kills another employee. But fortunately, we had another employee step in.
Yeah, the news story says that he killed a coworker, and who knows what led someone to do something like this. But yeah, the good shooter, the justified shooter, is arriving on scene. He gets out of his car and he sees everybody is screaming and running, and he hears people saying the words "active shooter." So he pulls his own gun. And he identifies the shooter, and he notices that the shooter's gun is jammed, and now the shooter has picked up a bat, quote unquote. And so he decides, I guess he decides that he doesn't need to shoot, but he does train his firearm on the BG, the bad guy in this case, and says something to the effect of, stop, whatever. BG says, no, you need to put the gun down. And he says, that's not going to happen. You just killed someone. I can't take my gun off you. I can't. I'm ad-libbing a little bit, but most of that is right out of the news story.
Yeah. I think it's fantastic. I mean, it does say, as you said a moment ago, that he literally arrives at work and gets out of his car. And this is the scene. I mean, this is far from people's minds, you know, thinking when they're going to work that this is what they're going to have to do. But this guy is ready. And It's fortunate that the bad guy's gun had jammed, but because this guy was ready to respond and react, he didn't give this guy a chance to try to clear that jam or to do anything with that baseball bat. So kudos to you. This was Mr. Curry there. We applaud you and thank you for your service and being ready to respond to an active shooter situation.
Guys, these justified shooter stories are so important for us to share and tell people about. I mean, how often do you hear people say, well, you know, the good guys with guns aren't going to stop these mass shootings? He just stopped one. I mean, you know, if this guy's gun hadn't jammed, the good guy probably would have shot him and it would have ended. But if he hadn't been there, this guy picked up a bat and he was not done. He was not, I shot one guy, now I'm leaving. There was going to be a greater death toll here.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And you're right, Jacob. We do need to share these stories. How often does the media, you know, or at least what people would have us believe that, you know, good guys with guns, they don't, you know, you're not capable of stopping stuff like this. But it happens every day pretty much in this country. And that's why we like to feature these stories. In fact, this week we had like four stories. At least we could have found more, but we had at least four stories we could have chosen from to do this Justified story segment. And this was just the one that, you know, we liked the best. And so, I mean, we had others where there was a woman robbed in a parking lot. She drew a gun to prevent that from happening. Another guy that, this was kind of an interesting story because his house was broken into, but, you know, he actually had to take the gun from the intruder and then shoot the intruder. And that was in Maryland, by the way. So, yeah, some interesting and good stories, but good people do things with guns every day in this country. Let's make that clear and shout it from the rooftops. Moving into this week's Justified segment, this story is out of Indianapolis, reported by Fox 59. That's the local Fox affiliate there. And the tagline is, "Mother shoots intruder who entered Southside home through baby's window." Crazy.
Yeah,
this is like every parent's worst nightmare.
You know, this one's worse than most. I mean, like someone breaks into house, homeowner shoots at them is a fairly common story, but this one's a little bit different. Not because they came through the baby's window. That's actually kind of an irrelevant fact that makes for a good headline. But this story is actually different because mom hears glass breaking. Okay, calls husband, says I think someone's breaking into the house, and retrieves her firearm. I don't know if she called 911 or if the husband called 911, but a 911 call was placed at this point. She begins to leave out of her bedroom. And as she does, the intruder is coming out of the child's room into a common area of the house. And they literally like walk into the hallway, or at least that's the impression I get from reading it, at the same time from opposite ends. And here's the key. Who do you think shot first? It wasn't the mom. The suspect shot. The suspect had a gun and took a shot at the homeowner first and missed. And then the homeowner turns and fires back and strikes the suspect multiple times.
Good has prevailed in this story. Thank goodness. I mean, this is like I said, this is really every parent's and every person's worst nightmare. I mean, just the fact, I mean, it, besides having a home intruder, but having an intruder that is in fact armed and armed with a gun and is ready to use it. Like this guy went in there ready and prepared to do whatever it takes to basically rob this woman and maybe do even worse things. So, and also reported in the story, the infant was not hurt, which we are very thankful for. And no one was hurt except for the bad guy. And that's really how, you know, we like to see these things go down, of course. Now, getting into our Justified segment this week. As always, this is a segment we feature in all of our episodes. As there literally is no shortage, is there, Jacob, as far as stories on a weekly basis where someone uses a firearm in self-defense?
Yeah, I'd say at least, you know, on average, once a day, we have a story like this.
Yeah. So this week's story title is "Man Wakes to Armed Intruders, Fires Back in Self-Defense." Coming to us from WTOC.com. This is out of Savannah, Georgia. And so the story goes, we got cops respond to shots fired at a mobile home community in Savannah, Georgia. And essentially, we had a resident who wakes up in the middle of the night and he finds two people breaking into his home. And the people breaking in said they were police. Now, this is interesting.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, they're saying, let us in. We're, you know, we're the police.
Yeah. He could see them on, I guess he had surveillance video set up. And he could tell they weren't police officers. So that's pretty cool. But how many people actually have surveillance video set up on their homes?
One of the two of us on this call.
Which is obviously you, not me. And so, but he goes and retrieves a firearm. The suspects broke in. So it actually got to the point where they managed to break into the house. He fired at them, or they fired at him, and he returned fire back. So suspects ran from the home. It says no one was injured, apparently. But this guy, he's a veteran, and he is carrying he's got his Smith & Wesson M&P 9mm, which is a fantastic firearm, I might add. And he says this, quote, "This gun saved my life. Without this gun, I might not be here right now."
Yeah. This is really cool. You know, we joked about it, but there is a unique and valuable insight here about having that camera. I mean, how many of us, if we heard someone knocking on our door in the middle of the night saying, it's the police, let us in, we would just like go run and open the door.
Right.
Even like decide, oh no, actually I was going to grab my gun, but I think I won't because it's law enforcement. I don't want them to freak out.
Yeah.
You know, I could just see that, you know, being such an easy ploy for criminals. So, you know, how valuable is it to have eyes on the door?
Agreed. And this has been something I've been thinking about. And now we've talked about it a little bit in previous episodes, but in the last week or so, I've had a couple incidences here near my home. And particularly right now, I have a neighbor that's going through some issues. They've got a stalker situation that the stalker to get back at, because apparently they're disgruntled with these people. And so the stalker has now resorted to busting out windows on their cars. And so far, they've had 3 cars vandalized. And police are working on getting enough evidence to charge this individual. But for right now, this individual is still out there, and they've returned 2 times, and they have damaged vehicles. So I have been awakened in the middle of the night. The last time was at 4 a.m., and I'm hearing banging. And the last time, I thought it was banging on my house, and I'm going, holy crap. So fortunately, you know, I have my little quick access safe right there in my bedroom, accessed my gun quickly in case I needed it. This is something that happens, you know, and this guy was once again, we talk about it every week, just about this guy was prepared. I mean, I'm not going to say he was, you know, not everybody that we talk about on this program is, you know, ready for a gun battle necessarily, but the fact that they have one access to a gun that they're able to get to reasonably quickly and that they're able to successfully defend themselves, particularly in their homes, against these types of attacks and intrusions, it warms my heart, to put it frankly. Now, here's another great quote from this guy. I like this. He says, this is quoting the article, and he has this advice for anyone committing crime in the area. Quote, there are citizens out here who are legally carrying firearms, and criminals, beware.
Yeah. I dig it.
It's awesome.
Hey, a little plug, and remind me to put this in our show notes, but this last week we did update a blog post that we published over a year ago about home defense tactics. And you know, these are things you can just do to, you know, make your home a more difficult, you know, target than the next door neighbor, basically. So I'll put that in our show notes because I think there's a lot of good content there.
Excellent. One final note that, and this was kind of what I was thinking about when I first started introducing this news story, was how, since I've actually had to talk to police here at my home, being a witness essentially 2 times relating to these vandalism of my neighbor's vehicles, I've had police come to my door. And, you know, and particularly that the first night that this happened, I watched them go to my neighbor's door. My neighbor wasn't even aware. They were completely asleep. I was awakened and I made the call. I went out and met police, and then I watched them wake up my neighbor. And so what happens, right? Police goes up to the door, knock, knock, knock. You know, this is the police, right? And it's a little unnerving. And so most of the time when people are going to hear this, they're going to, like you said, Jacob, they're going to think, oh, police, you know, and instantly they're nervous. What did I do? Or who in my family is hurt? And so when you get nervous like that, you start not to think as maybe clearly, you start to make a mistake, like not, you know, being tactically aware or mindful of potentials such as this, where this guy had 2 people at his door saying, hey, this is police. Moving on to our justified segment, this week is a doozy. I highlighted it and said the title of the article is Woman Shoots Suspect, Runs Out of Bullets, Plans to Buy Another Gun. This is great. I mean, it's not great for the woman, okay? Let me just run down this story with you real quick. So she has, and this was actually, this is dated March 29th. So it starts out saying over the weekend, so just prior to that, a 61-year-old woman awoke to 2 suspects, unloaded her gun on them, and plans to buy another gun in case such an incident occurs again. So what happened was she had these 2 guys break into her house. She apparently didn't hear them actually come into the house. She is awakened to them basically standing over her. She quickly grabs a gun and starts firing. She shoots one in the stomach, but empties every bullet in her gun without hitting the second suspect. She surmises, quoting the article again, that the suspects heard her gun as it began to click and realized she was out of rounds. At that point, the uninjured suspect allegedly began to beat her, leaving the woman with a concussion and her face covered with cuts and bruises.
Jeez.
Wow.
This is, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, because when we have a home invasion, then we have a woman that shoots, you know, or attempts to shoot these guys to defend herself. And she has probably the unthinkable occur in that she runs out of ammo. Ooh.
We'll be talking more about that, won't we?
Yeah, serious. I mean, could you imagine the terror? There was a Justified segment that you guys did a couple of weeks ago that I loved, where the gal was running away from the guy after she's done with work. And, you know, she pulls out her gun and she has some type of malfunction as they're wrestling around on the ground, and she's able to clear the malfunction. And oh my gosh, what terror.
Just, yeah.
You know,
geez. You know, here's an interesting thing. If she had not shot the one suspect, they probably would have gotten away with this crime. Like if they hadn't had to seek medical help at a hospital, they wouldn't have been caught. They'd still be loose.
Yeah. Because it talks about, you know, so the one suspect that was shot in the stomach, he was quickly captured at the local hospital because he needed treatment for his gunshot wound. The second suspect drove him to the hospital because they arrested him at a gas station sitting across the street from the hospital.
Right. Yeah.
So
it's a loyal criminal.
Yeah. But I like this final paragraph in the article. First of all, she says she plans to install a security system so she can know if someone is in her house as soon as they enter. That's good. But then she also says she plans to buy another gun. She urged other women to do the same, saying, "I hope other women will take note. I am glad I was able to defend myself." And we'd like to kick it off first with a Justified story. And this is coming to us from Kansas City. Jacob, you want to enlighten us on this one?
Yeah, so this is Kansas City, Missouri. Not to be confused with Kansas City, Kansas, apparently. And a woman is home, late evening, maybe, you know, I'm actually not clear based on the different news stories whether or not this happened after 11 p.m. or if she called 9. Anyway, it's late night. She hears loud knocking and banging at the door. Okay. And now, you know, knocking is probably, you can see that the average criminal is going to, hey, is anyone home? They're checking. No one's responding. So what's the next step? Well, got to break in, you know. So she hears knocking and then banging on the front door, and so she grabs her gun for protection. She's not sure who's trying to get in the house. She can't see. Eventually, the man kicks in the front door, which, you know, if you have any practice on it, it doesn't take a lot to kick in the average door. So he kicks in the front door. He gains entrance to the home. He starts coming in. The homeowner's lined up right there, right? So the intruder charges immediately toward the homeowner, and unfortunately for him, the woman was prepared and she fired.
Yeah. And there's an important thing to realize here, I think. I mean, how does the situation start off? It starts off with her hearing really loud banging at her front door. It makes it sound, if you're reading the story, and this came to us, by the way, from KFDI.com. That's a local news affiliate in Kansas City. It makes it sound, I mean, it says that she retrieved her firearm, and when she goes back to the door, it almost says is by the time she gets back to the door, this guy is basically kicking the door in. And so seconds really do count in these types of situations a lot of times. She barely basically has enough time to go from the door back to probably her bedroom or wherever she kept her gun, and then back, and then she's got to basically be ready to use her gun at that point.
Yeah, and we have plenty of these stories where someone's sneaking in, right, through some window, or, you know, the door's unlocked. This happens to be one of those lucky situations where they had to break in, and so that, you know, created an opportunity for her to retrieve the gun. You know, the other lesson perhaps we learned here, like you were saying, seconds count. You know, how close is my access to that gun? How quickly can I retrieve it? Do I have some system in place to notify me when there's something going on? A loud dog, motion lights. You know, I think there's so many other layers of defense that us gun owners tend to neglect because we got the gun.
So let's get into our first Justified news story. And we'll kick it right off with the father. This is in Seattle, Washington. The story is titled Shoreline Father Shoots Alleged Home Intruder. A 41-year-old man was shot early Thursday. This was just literally yesterday, and we're recording this on Friday, May 6th, so this was just yesterday. After allegedly trying to break into a Shoreline home, a 19-year-old woman called 911, said that someone's trying to break into a house, trying to kick in the front and back doors, and then her father, 44-year-old man, grabs his gun. Jacob, I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, the caller, you know, who was identified, you said 19 years old, right? I think she was 19.
Yeah.
Yep. She, along with the 11-year-old sister and both parents, locked themselves in a back bedroom, right? So you have four total people, two daughters, two parents, and the dad has the gun.
Yeah.
And it's, the timing is actually really interesting because this house was well enough fortified, or the intruder was incapable enough that it took him a while to break in. And by the time he finally crashes through a window, I think by throwing lawn furniture through it, he breaks some glass. The dad, the firearm, you know, wielder, leaves the safe room where the family is hiding, leaves the safe room, approaches the now intruder who's coming through the window and starts shooting. And at the point when the shots are fired, the sheriff deputies who are arriving on scene are close enough to hear the shots. They're showing up on scene right then.
Yeah. Yeah. And it mentions how the call came in, and it's about 5 minutes from when the 911 call is initiated to when the deputies arrive. So it takes about 5 minutes for this guy to eventually break into the home. Now, I will say the family did the right thing as far as, you know, they kind of, whether it was an officially established safe room or not, doesn't really matter. But they got themselves, you know, secured in a room. Dad had a gun. Now, we could debate whether, you know, he should have left the safe room or not. There's maybe potentially some advantages to remaining there. There's also some potential cons. But the point is, he has his right to defend his home and his family. And ultimately, I would say he did the right thing here. The only person that should have got hurt was the bad guy, and that's what happened. Everybody lives on and is happy. First up, we got a justified story. And this is coming to us from thetruthaboutguns.com. And we've talked about it before. We like thetruthaboutguns.com. Pretty good website. The title is Teen with AK-47 Defends Home Against Armed Invader. Wow. And this is kind of an interesting story because it talks in this story about a father who, when his son was home alone, and it just says he's a teenage boy. We don't know exactly what that means. I guess he could be 13, he could be 19, but I think he's a juvenile of some sort. And so while his dad was away, he armed his son, or at least made available to him, an AK-47. I could just hear the screams coming from the liberals.
Oh, yeah. They are freaking out.
So, fortunately, this was the case because on June 1st at about 3 p.m., so it's just a little bit more than a week ago, his son was home alone, and he called his father to report a home invasion. So this is a quote from a neighbor that told the story to the local affiliate news station there. Said, Daddy armed him in case he was ever by himself, neighbor Rick Waltz said. I think it's funny Rick refers to this kid's dad as Daddy. That's all right. Daddy was at work, and he got a call that said, it sounds like somebody is in the house, more than one. Like any parent would do, he said, get your gun and protect yourself if you have to. Somewhere along the line, they met up, and one will not be going home tonight. Jacob, I'm going to let you pick up the story from there.
I love it. So it says, you know, at some point, the teen saw the alleged intruder and shot him just once with the AK. And it appears that the bullet went into the victim's hand, traveled up his arm and into his chest cavity. And the news is reporting that only one shot is believed to have been fired. But that man's dead. And the dead man was 18 years old. And the other intruder, Samuel Reed, is also 18 years old and was armed with a handgun. So, yep. You know, these guys, we don't know what they would have done. What we know is that they came knocking. They were armed, and they let themselves into the home. It says there was no forced entry. And this teenager, who you know, you were talking about age. I was thinking, well, at least old enough to be at home alone with yeah,
right,
without parents. Yeah, maybe four, I'd say 13, 14 plus. But anyway, teenager fired. You know, it's actually interesting. I was thinking about this. The AK was a really appropriate firearm in this situation. Like if I had to leave my kids and tell them to arm themselves, I'd much rather they pick up an AK than any of my handguns. It's easier to handle. The recoil's not as bad. Easy to point. Plus, you have the visual deterrent of the thing.
Oh gosh,
it's actually really good for the situation.
Yeah, I mean, and it's daytime, so I mean, it's not like they wouldn't be able to see it. So, I mean, here you have armed intruders that probably have a handgun, and I think the news story even said they had a handgun.
Yep, yeah. At least one.
Armed with a handgun. It's like, you know, you walk into a house and you've got a handgun, and you're met with a kid with an AK-47. I would be splitting out of there like, oh man, so fast. It was a very appropriate weapon. I agree. And, you know, there are folks that would have us believe that all we need is a hunting rifle or a, you know, double barreled, you know, shotgun, you know, to defend our homes, and which, you know, not that those couldn't be effective, but, you know, here you've got a weapon that some would like to classify as being a so-called assault weapon and take them away. And I mean, yet it still can be used appropriately by law-abiding citizens to effectively defend themselves in their own homes. I got one other note to make here about this story, and I'm not suggesting that anyone should just go right out and arm their teenagers. That's certainly a decision for a parent to make. But I would say this, if you are in the same boat, please spend some time with your children other than making sure that they are well versed and practiced and trained on the weapons of choice that you might leave, you know, available for them to have access to. But spend some time with them and talk about the laws. This was the thought I had as I read the story. We featured a story a few weeks ago too about a young boy that shot somebody, and it actually occurred outside of the home on the property. And so anyway, I was thinking about that and thinking about this story and just thinking, you know, how, you know, unfortunate it would be if my child defended themselves, you know, appropriately, but maybe, you know, went a little too far or crossed, you know, the line a little bit as far as, you know, in Colorado, deadly force is pretty easy to use as far as you got a home intruder in your home. It's, there's a lot of leeway there, but if my child chased, you know, the bad guy out the door and shot at him, you know, that would be kind of unfortunate, I think. So make sure your children not only understand the firearms, but understand the laws as well.
Well, I think the way to teach that is not to try and give a legal lecture that's not likely to be understood or received well. I think the idea is to just teach them what to do. If you give them good, you know, clear instructions about, you know, barricading in a room and not letting people come through that doorway, or, you know, whatever it might be. Another interesting thing here, and we've had one other story come up before where this came up. You know, at what point do you say, "Hey, I'm leaving my children alone"? You know, my teenager is the babysitter watching themselves and potentially other younger children. At what point do you say, "Hey, it's now okay for them to have access to the gun because I expect them to defend the home"? Yeah. So that's another thing that, you know, we maybe need to hash out as its own topic in a future episode.
Yeah, I don't think that's an easily answered question, because I think it's going to be different and vary for each household and parent and child and so forth. And just so it's clear, I wasn't implying, you know, that we sit our kids down and give them this like really in-depth legal lecture. I mean, geez, what kid's going to listen to that? But I do think the father did it here to an extent. He told his son over the phone, you know, get your gun and protect yourself if you have to. And it was very focused on, you know, you protect yourself. You know, but I'm just talking like, you know, you tell them, "Hey, if someone comes in the home, defend yourself. If they leave, if they go out the door, don't follow them. Lock the door, you know, secure that, you know, like make sure that you are safe," or, you know, that sort of thing. But anyway.
Sure. Well, the other major piece of advice we probably should give from this news story, lock your doors. There was no forced entry.
This was in Byram, Mississippi. Do you know where that is?
No idea, man.
Not me either. But I'm pretty sure it's a rural area.
It seems likely.
I grew up where we didn't lock our homes. Well, at least we didn't lock it during the day. I mean, I think we locked it at night most of the time, but no, it's not, it's never a bad idea. And I don't think it ever hurts to make sure we lock our homes and lock our cars. We've got kind of a string of, I'm going to call them justified stories. Sometimes we only feature one, sometimes we only feature two. Here we kind of have, like I said, a string of stories that over the last couple of weeks have popped up. And, some of them are probably better than others, but they all have a point to them. So first of all, from WIS TV Channel 10, this is actually out of Lyman, South Carolina. Okay, and so, and this happened not too long, probably about 2 weeks after the Orlando shooting.
14 days. Yeah.
Yep. And so, you know, everyone, of course, is familiar with the Orlando Pulse nightclub shooting. This was actually another shooting that took place in a nightclub in South Carolina. So just 2 weeks later. So we have a man who is charged with multiple attempted murder charges. He opened fire on a number of people outside a nightclub, and this was early on a Sunday morning, so really it would have been like Saturday night for a lot of these people. The nightclub is called the Playoffs Nightclub, and so 32-year-old Jody Ray Thompson pulled out a gun after getting into an argument with another man and fired several rounds toward a crowd that had gathered out in front of the club. Rounds from his gun struck three victims and almost struck a fourth victim. Now, in a lot of stories, it probably is unfortunate and ends there. But in this case, we had a little bit of fortune. The fourth victim that was almost struck actually was carrying a gun concealed, and legally, I might add, as well. The gun grabbers would have us believe that this sort of thing never happens. But instead, this fourth victim draws his gun and fires back, and he struck Jody Ray Thompson in the leg. And that caused the perpetrator of this crime to drop his weapon, and then... You know, police showed up, and of course, now he's arrested. Now he's faced with the multiple attempted murder charges, like I mentioned. So here we have, and the hero, see, does it mention his name, Jacob?
No, I don't think his name is ever mentioned.
Yeah, I'd like to find out who this man is if we can. Maybe he wants his identity to be kept secret, but, and that's okay. I respect that, but, you know, similar to other stories that we have shared in the past, this man's a hero. I mean, this could have gotten worse. It could have gotten more out of hand. I mean, apparently it was a pretty good sized crowd that had gathered, and then, you know, where this altercation took place. And this guy, legally carrying concealed, draws and fires back and stops it from going any further.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's not going to get the headlines like some of the other ones, you know, because A, it's pro gun, but also because, you know, no one died. No one died. Like the three victims that were shot, they all survived. None of them were life-threatening wounds. And the perpetrator was also not killed. He was shot in the leg by the good guy with the gun, right? So no one died, which is really awesome, and we love that. I'll mention Jody Ray Thompson, the perpetrator here. He did, you know, interesting. Like the more you learn about the story, he did not show up to the nightclub like, okay, I'm gonna like go kill 50 people tonight. He just, yeah, you know, was a bad guy who had some bad, you know, rub wrong kind of conversations with someone else there and drew the gun and started shooting randomly into a crowd. But at the end of the day, there's just no way around the fact that someone with a concealed handgun permit who lives the lifestyle that we're promoting, it drew, fired, hit the target, stopped the crime. Yep. But that's just the fact pattern here. And there's no way around that. You can't dance that away.
This unidentified man is a sheepdog. Is he not?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Prepared, willing, and able to act.
Yep. Awesome. So in kind of a, well, I mean, it's a similar story. I mean, like I said, these are justified stories we're featuring. So here we have a story out of Portland, Oregon. And coming to us from KGW, this is Channel 8, local, I think it's a ABC affiliate there in Portland. And this is a familiar story. I mean, we share almost every week a story that sounds very similar to this. A woman returns to her Portland home with her two children early Sunday morning, and she found a man inside. She had no idea who the man was. She didn't know why he was there. All she knew is that he was there. She had two children that she was concerned with, you know, protecting. I think, let's see, it was a 10-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son. And, you know, the interesting thing is, and this is not necessarily uncommon with these types of home invasions, where, you know, the homeowner or the family of the home comes home. And sometimes it's a little bit of time that ensues. There's some amount of time between when they actually get in the home and to the time that they actually discover there's somebody that shouldn't be there. And so it says here that according to the two detectives, McCrary, so they've identified this man as David Daniel McCrary, and he was age 59. He broke into the Ford's home. This is the name of the family, through a back window. He was found by Ford, get this, in the bedroom of her 10-year-old daughter where the shooting happened. Ford's, yeah. And this is the, I guess, maybe fortunate part, Ford's daughter and her 5-year-old son were in a different bedroom at the time. So, like I said, I mean, just imagine this. Put yourself in this situation. You come home. You got your family with you, maybe your kids, whatever, right? And you maybe been shopping or whatever, you know. Our kind of modus operandi would be, you know, we'd come in, we'd drop the groceries off in the kitchen on the counter, start putting things away. The kids are going to run about in the house, go to their room, start playing with their toys. And sometime later, you find out there's a man in your home and you don't know who he is. So the short of the story is this mother, she, I'm not exactly sure she had the gun. It just said that she was armed with a handgun. Okay, so I don't know if she was actually carrying it with her at the time or if she just retrieved it from somewhere within the home, but she shoots the man, and unfortunately he dies of a single gunshot wound. Now, there was a little bit of controversy here. In fact, the title of the story was Case of Mom Fatally Shooting Intruder Sparks Debate. Because people were kind of like, hey, this guy didn't have a criminal record. He was generally thought of as a decent guy. He kind of lived in the neighborhood. But he did, he was known to have had some mental issues in the, you know, recent history. And so, you know, I think some people were kind of led to believe that maybe this guy was just mistaken. You know, he didn't, you know, he was not totally coherent or whatever, and was having an episode and just found his way into this home. And, you know, did she need to kill him? I don't know, you know, but what I do know is that you got a mother and two very young kids that find a strange man in their home. You don't know what's going to happen, because too often those situations don't end well.
Yeah. Yeah. It talks a little bit in here about how the investigation's ongoing and, you know, but most likely she won't be charged. They quote some local defense attorney who says, oh no, she's totally justified by Oregon law. But all that aside, like, I don't care about the law. Like I just care. Like if my wife came home at 1:45 a.m. and walked into a bedroom, you know, probably like, oh, get the kids' jammies out, let's get them in bed, and there's some random dude standing there, like, I would expect her to draw and shoot. Like, I'm generally a big proponent of human life and not taking it, but I don't think that this is one of those situations where you're like, oh, excuse me, you're in the wrong house.
Right. Yep. Yeah. So I would say on the whole, the majority of people probably absolutely do not blame this woman for what she did. Apparently there's a few people that don't necessarily feel that way, but you know where we stand, and I know where probably 99% of our listeners stand. So
it really is tragic that the guy died, right?
Yeah,
I
mean,
I don't think any of us are like feel warm and fuzzy, like, all right, you know, one yep. last guy. No. It's like, we always want people to live, yep. but you know, there was a threat and it was addressed.
Yep. It's really not a whole lot different from a few years ago here locally in Boulder, Colorado, where a very intoxicated, you know, young woman, I think 20 something, early 20s, found her way into an elderly couple's home. And I would surmise that she didn't necessarily intend to do that. that she probably wasn't aware of what she was doing. I mean, from all reports, she was extremely intoxicated. Her blood alcohol content level was extremely high. So she's very, and maybe under the influence of some other things. And anyway, she finds her way into this home. It's late at night. This older gentleman, you know, ends up shooting her. Now, she lived, but, you know, but he's not charged with anything. You know, you just don't know what's going to happen to you. That's why we have Castle Doctrine laws the way we do, is because, you know, that is your domain. That is your castle. You have the right to defend it. And most importantly, defend the beings, the human beings within the walls of it. And that's exactly what took place here.
Yeah, I mean, think of it this way. It's like if this guy was suffering from some mental health issue that drove him to break in through a window and hide in a 10-year-old girl's bedroom, what else might that mental issue have pushed him to do? We don't know.
Totally. Totally. And neither did the woman. So here's another interesting story. And it's another good guys with guns story. Title, The Ending to a Chaotic Walmart Shootout Just Did a Lot for the Good Guys with Guns Argument. Agreed. Coming from the Independent Journal Review, and which is a kind of conservative, you know, right-leaning publication, but the story, I think, tells it pretty plainly. So this was, once again, about a week and a half or so ago on a Sunday. Actually, you know, now that I think about it, that was a busy Sunday because I think almost all of these stories came from that Sunday.
that weekend.
Yeah. So in Maine, Augusta, Maine, in a Walmart parking lot, there was an altercation between occupants of two vehicles. So you had two vehicles, they're pulled up alongside each other, and they're arguing. Apparently, they were arguing over money between the two vehicles. And it kind of sounds like a drug deal gone wrong sort of thing. Because especially if you look at the mugshots of some of the individuals involved, they kind of look a little rough. So basically, at some point, the argument escalates to a point that guns are drawn and bullets start flying. Well, this is when one suspect exited their vehicle to confront the occupants of their vehicle. At this time, the incident was stopped by two bystanders who had watched the incident unfold. No one was injured during the incident, and medical assistance was denied. It's interesting that bullets could fly around between two vehicles that are probably not that far apart, and nobody is injured, apparently.
It's the Stormtrooper complex, right? They can't hit anything.
Again, quoting from the news story, since then, police have confirmed that both of these bystanders were legally armed with handguns and were able to step in and defuse the situation before anyone was harmed. Wow. Augusta Police Lieutenant Chris Massey explained simply, they had taken out their guns and told them to stop. Well, this is what I take from this, Jacob. The power of the righteously armed citizen. Right? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
They didn't have to fire shots. They saw something happening that shouldn't be happening. And they draw their own legally owned, legally carried guns, point at them and say, stop. And guess what? They stopped. Holy cow.
Yeah.
What a concept. Yeah. So apparently one of the vehicles attempted to flee the scene, but police arrived in time and they were able to arrest everybody. And so everybody's arrested and facing charges. But once again, we had two citizens, and there's an image here of one of them, Daniel Charvain. I don't know. Heavily bearded man. It's pretty awesome. There's a picture here. It was a screenshot from Twitter. Says he was one of the armed bystanders who broke up the fight at Walmart. You know, here we have yet another hero and a declared sheepdog, I will say. So good for you, sir. And whoever your buddy was, you know, you stopped another situation from getting even worse.
All righty. Thanks for listening to our collection of the last year's worth of justified shooting stories. I hope you found that valuable. I know there's a lot of great tidbits in there and things that we can all learn from. And that's, of course, why we do what we do here at ConcealedCarry.com, formerly USA Firearm Training. So, and if you haven't checked out the website lately, feel free, head on over to ConcealedCarry.com, check out our latest news stories. Don't forget to stop in and check out our resources available for those of you CCWers out there. Our map, reciprocity maps, all that stuff, great stuff and content there at ConcealedCarry.com. And we're looking forward now to ahead to SHOT Show 2017. Going to be bringing to you a lot of great content right from the show floor at SHOT Show. New products, different things being launched. If you are looking for the latest information, latest products, guns, gear, you know, you name it, we're going to be there trying to do our best to bring it to you as best we can and as quickly as we can. So, thanks again for listening today to this episode of the Concealed Carry Podcast. And with that, I'm going to say goodbye. I got about 18 hours of travel still to do between here and home in Denver. And we are planning on being there. And Wednesday morning, we're going to be recording an episode of the Concealed Carry Podcast. It'll be released probably a little bit later, more towards the afternoon or maybe even early evening, just as soon as we're able to get that accomplished for you. There you have it. So with that, thanks again so much, everyone, for your support. We'll see you next time.
A reminder that laws vary from place to place, and we encourage listeners to seek local legal advice to understand applicable laws. USA Firearm Training and the Concealed Carry Podcast strive to share insights and stories about firearm-related incidents and laws, but things could be different where you live or laws may have changed by the time you listen to this. We cannot be held liable for your actions based on the information shared in the podcast.